It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. It's a wonderful day to have the study of God's Word. No matter what's going on in the world, it's just such a joy. And so please that you would open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1, the 24th verse. Matthew chapter 2. I looked at the wrong verse. Matthew chapter 2, verse 16. We're a lot further than that. I always mark where we stop from one time to the next. So it is Matthew chapter 2, verse 16 is where we're going to begin today. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us, our phone number here is 217-847-2717. If you would like to check our website out, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. If you'd like to send us an email, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one would be just fine. So glad that you've joined us today. Let's begin now by reading God's precious word, Matthew chapter 2, verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentations and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judah in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he returned aside into parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in the city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, He shall be called a Nazarene. What wonderful words to read. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you that we can come today and enjoy this precious study. Just guide and lead us. It's such a blessing and such an opportunity to be able to do this. Father, I just thank you for this, and I just ask that you will bless the words that are spoken today, and it'll come into the ears of the hearers today, Lord, please. Just speak to them. Bring salvation to their hearts. And bring your precious word home to them that they can enjoy it each and every day. Have the blessings of knowing your precious word. So, Father, just guide and lead us now today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we return now back to the 16th verse of chapter 2, we find something that's about to take place. And I think, if you don't mind, I'm going to back up and read from the 13th verse down. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then we get to the 16th verse, and then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked. Now, it's back up just a little bit. Remember, the wise men showed up, and they asked a question, and that question was, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Verse 2 of chapter 2. For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes and the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written of the prophets, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. And then Herod, when he had privately called his wise men, inquired of them diligently at the time that the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. He is a liar. He has no desire to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He had one desire, and that was to put that to the king to death. And so Herod's plans clearly was to come and kill the King of the Jews. It was going to be fairly simple, because these wise men were going to go find the child and then come back and tell him exactly where he's located so he can go kill him. And that was the sole purpose, you see. And so it didn't seem like that was going to be a problem, but the wise men insulted Herod by not returning. And so Herod literally lost all sight of reasoning. He lost total control. And his heart was so wicked, he just literally became a wise man, went into a rage, into a blind hate. And he sent out his men to kill every child from birth to 2 years old in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof. What a horrible day. What a horrible day. How could God allow such a thing to happen? We praise our God that a child, when a child dies, that's younger than the age of accountability, and there's a lot of people have a suggestion of what that might be, but you see, God knows. And we know that from 2 years old down, without question, they went right in to paradise, Abraham's bosom. You see, Jesus at this point had not went to the cross and finished the work, so they didn't go straight to heaven, but they went to a place of love and caring, and again, paradise or Abraham's bosom. And then when our Lord and Savior died on the cross, he emptied out paradise, took them home to heaven. And so they received that blessing. And so we need to understand the love of God, but such a terrible time for the parents, for the mothers that gave birth to these children, to the fathers that loved these children and fathered these children, and yet to have a king come in with such a wicked heart and do such a terrible thing. He sent his men out, all the children from 2 years old and under. This order, again, not only included Bethlehem, but also the children in all the coasts thereof. From the time of the star, he determined that the children that he sought would be somewhere between those two ages. And so that was the point, that we are just going to go after all of them. How could he miss? God disappointed Herod by sending a message to these wise men to go home another way. And it made him furious. And so he ordered all the babies of that age to be killed. Now, we have a similar situation many years ago. And we're going to turn back to the book of Exodus. And if you're familiar with the Word of God, you'll know what's going to happen here. Exodus chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. And we find here that the up a little above that, the bondage of the Egyptians. And so I'm just going to start clear back here at verse 7. And the children of Israel, this is chapter 1 of Exodus, chapter 1 of Exodus, verse 7. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply and come to pass that when there falled out any war, they joined also unto their enemy and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built unto Pharaoh treasure cities, but the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel, and the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, with cruelty. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage and mortar and brick, and in all manner of service in the field, in all their service wherein they made them serve with rigor, or they were very cruel to them. So you see, the problem that was coming here, and that is that they continued to grow. And we know that what is about to take place is that there is one to come and to rescue, to deliver them. And so in looking at these verses of Scripture, and we realize that something similar to what took place is about to happen. And in verse 15, And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Shiprah, and the name of the other was Puah. And he said, When ye do the office of midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded, but saved the men, children, alive. And so you see, it was a horrible day, and a day that's much like the days that we're talking about here. And so we need to understand that man is wicked, and they are so, so wicked. And we need to understand that and walk each and every day serving our God, knowing that our God is in control, and no matter what they try to do. And again, here the command was to kill every male, but the midwives didn't listen. And so God has a way of preserving. And when we're back here with what is going on with this, we need to understand that they were sent, you know, the angel of the Lord took care of the only begotten son, sent him into Egypt. And when they departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring word of Herod, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. See, you don't put anything over God. He knows what's going on. He's there to protect and to help and to save, and he surely did. And so he has protected the only begotten Son. Now, if you've got a Bible that has the only Son, get rid of that and get back to the old King James, because it must be, it has to be, the only begotten Son. Those are important and critical words. The only Son is not saying the same thing as the only begotten Son, because the only begotten Son is begotten by the Holy Spirit. And we need to understand that, and don't think that, oh, that's not important, because it is very important. And so God protected his only begotten Son. But again, as we've just read back in Exodus, it's happened before. God protected his only begotten Son and will protect all of his children who will trust him. And we have some wonderful words back in Hebrews chapter 13 that confirm that. Hebrews chapter 13. I hope you know your Bible. I hope you enjoy studying your Bible. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Understand that. Enjoy that. Appreciate that, please. It's so, so important. What a joy to have precious scriptures as that, that we can enjoy and know the Lord is going to take care of us. Now, as we return back to Matthew chapter 2, Matthew chapter 2, once again we find here in verse 16, then we'll go on to verse 17, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentations and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. What a sad statement. Ramah. It's a little town about 6 miles northwest of Jerusalem. It's near Bethel, and it's about 10 miles from Bethlehem. Ramah is the town in which Samuel was born. He lived and he died. Ramah was the place where Saul was appointed king. As the scripture tells us, Rachel weeping for her children. So we have the place in Ramah. Was there a voice heard, lamentations and weeping and great mourning? That's exactly what was going on with these people as that king made that decree that everyone from an infant up to 2 years old was to be put to death. That way he'd have that area. It wouldn't be a problem. And so you see, Rachel, her son, she was weeping over the tribe of Benjamin. Ramah belonged to the tribe of Benjamin, that area. And as we look at these verses, we need to realize that, you know, Rachel was born and died and was buried in Bethlehem. Rachel wept over God's elect, weeping over this terrible problem that took place with this king. And it wasn't the king we're talking about here. This was back when they went into captivity. And during that time, many, many were put to death. Got a quote here from Oliver Green. I don't quote many times, but this is, says it so clearly. It says, that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet refers to Jeremiah 31:15. Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentations and bitter weeping. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted for her children because they were not. The prophecy in Jeremiah describes the sorrowful departure of the children of Israel when they were taken into captivity after the conquest of Jerusalem by Nebuzaradan. The captives were assembled in Ramah, and the prophet Jeremiah was in chains at this time. It was at Ramah that the conquerors decided the fate of those who had escaped the destruction of the city, Jeremiah 40, verse 1. The nobles had already been executed. The sons of the king had been murdered as he looked on. The eyes of the king had been blinded, and the people were herded into a group at Ramah. It was from that place that they were to begin their painful, mournful journey in chains, to become slaves under a cruel, ungodly king. They were leaving all that was near and dear to them. And the heartbreak of such an hour is expressed in the passage just quoted in Jeremiah. So we need to understand that when it speaks of this, the scripture is comparing what is going on at this time in Matthew as this wicked king goes after these dear children in a vengeance. And so we compare these times as we look at this, because we have the connection of Rachel and have the connection, you know, as God's elect was, you know, weeping over this terrible event that took place as they went into slavery. And we have the same here. And so we know that not only were many murdered, but then they were taken into slavery, and it just broke the heart of that nation. They went into slavery because of their disobedience. What a sad day that they chose to not serve God, but to be disobedient. But it broke the heart of Rachel, as it says here, Rachel weeping for her children. And we know that Rachel had long been buried, and yet the continual thought and the connection that's there. And we have the same here, as Rachel would mourn her children, so did all the mothers that had lost their children mourn for them. And so we come again to verse 18, and when Ramah was there, there was a voice heard, lamentations and weeping and great mourning over this that had taken place. Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. When Herod was dead, verse 19, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. God took care of it. the only begotten Son, has returned. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judah in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream. He turned aside into the parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Now, understand that in Rachel's day, and in the day that we're speaking here with the Lord Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, that these people, Herod had a choice. He had a choice. He had a free will. And he chose to be so wicked, which we have today. We have so many folks that are so wicked. And so please understand with me here and stand with me here and realize that there are wicked people in this world. And those people, it seems like that their wickedness just becomes, it continues to grow. They lie and they cheat and they do so many things. And you think, how can things get any worse? Well, in the absence of God, things get worse. So that's exactly what we have here. We have the absence of God. So we need to understand that. We need to understand that the absence of God brings wickedness. And so the absence of God in Herod's life brought such a wicked level up on the land that he would choose to kill all of these children. How can a person be so wicked? And yet we sure see that today. And it is the absence of God. We live in a wonderful free land called the United States of America. But this land has turned their back upon God. And it has opened the floodgates of wickedness into this land. And unless we stand up and stand for our God and for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, and proclaim his name, we will continue to go down this gutter that we're in right now. It doesn't bring me to the place of hopelessness, not at all. Because as we read back in Hebrews, God's going to protect me. They can take my life if they choose to, but my soul they cannot touch. The devil himself cannot touch my soul. And I praise my God for every day he gives me. And even though we have trials and tribulation each day, I just thank and praise God for all that he has done for us. Please, that we just continue to walk each day. And we serve him each day. It's such a joy to walk with him and praise his precious name. Because he gives us that opportunity, even in such a wicked world. Can you imagine the day that this was going on? The mourning that was taking place, the horrible things that were going on. But God gave them a choice. And they chose the wrong way. Back in the day of Rachel, back in the days of her family, the tribe of Benjamin, and as this took place, oh, it was a horrible time that they went into captivity. They had a choice. That king had a choice. Herod had a choice. But God delivers. God took care of the children back in that day, and he takes care of the child here. The only begotten Son of God. They've returned now back to Nazareth. He's called a Nazarene, as the scripture tells us. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?